Q.
I got something here. I want to see if you know what this is.
A Q.
A Q. That's right.
Yeah, I like that.
Hello and welcome from deep inside William Finchner's secret treasure room. This is the Q Filmcast. And whether you're with us online worldwide or perhaps nationwide on one of our affiliate stations, thanks as always for tuning in. If you don't yet know, we are the show which brings to you our review of a particular film currently streaming on Netflix Instant. We gather here each week or weekend at Jolly Roger's studio where we go around the table to tell you what we thought. That and our weekly top three list, which is always inspired by the movie in question. And this week, that movie is, let's reveal this right here, with emotion.
Mm-hmm. Without emotion, sir.
Oh, without emotion? Yeah, I'm sorry. Well, then that movie
is...
Let
Adam do it.
Did you guys take your pill this morning?
I don't know. Actually, I'm going to reveal this without emotion. It's the 2002 film, Equilibrium.
That was good.
Starring Christian Bale and Emily Watson, along with Ty Diggs.
And who else?
William Finchner.
William Finchner.
And Sean Bean.
And Sean Bean. Did he die in this one?
I don't know.
Of course.
Of course.
Of course he did, yeah. No, we're talking about 2002's Equilibrium. I think you may have seen it. And if that's the case, hey, keep listening. See if you agree with our take on it.
Mm-hmm.
But don't let it stop you if you haven't.
No.
Because this is the way the game is played as well. Keep listening to see if it's something you may want to queue up yourself. Some introductions here. I'm Michael, your host as always.
Hi, Michael.
Hey, man. Jump on in there. Matthew St. Hoodie, I'm going to you first. There you are. You seem anxious.
Crazy.
So much emotion with you right now.
I totally didn't take that pill.
That's Matthew St. Hoodie. And as you see, today I'm actually wearing a hoodie. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm, looks
in
good
in your honor.
Looks,
I haven't seen you in a
looks real good.
Yeah. It's not as pretty as yours, though. A little bit of teal.
Mine's standard.
Well, it brings out your eyes. So there he is, Matthew St. Hoodie. And absolutely. James Hard Sub Savage.
What's up, Maestro?
I'm doing okay, Savage. How are you?
I'm doing well.
It feels like it's been just a little bit of time here in between.
I have no emotion on that.
You have no feeling on that?
I have no feeling on that.
Here's a man who can never contain his feelings, so he could not do well in this world of equilibrium.
You'd be the first to go, buddy.
Yeah. They would just make a special wing of the totalitarian prison for you.
You think so?
Over-emotional. The over-emotional sinners.
We'd have to cement you in some back room and just leave you in there.
Maybe they'd put me in a museum and say, this is what happens when you have emotional people.
A relic.
You turn out like
just
this.
Just you beating on the glass to get out.
Yeah, that would be it. Yeah.
Have you been around any unemotional people lately?
Oh, yeah.
Inside joke. We'll leave that right there.
Yeah.
Max Gumbo Johnson and Adam, the producer. Look at that. He's over there in his freshly wiped off, clean, appropriate area of his producing cube. That's Adam, the Bomb Rogers.
Yeah. Hello.
Look at that.
Yeah. This is normal. Hello.
Yeah.
He just got a fancy desk, too. So
yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Look, we actually
like that fancy desk?
Yeah.
He did such a good job. He's redesigned and reacclimated the studio.
Yeah.
I walked in. I was blown away. It looks fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
He feng shuied the hell out of this thing.
Feng shuied.
Yeah.
All right, so that's us, guys. We are the Q Filmcast. And, yeah, it's been a little while. You know, Savage, I had a pretty good week.
Good.
You asked earlier, how am I doing? I had a really good week. You know, I know why?
Yeah.
Let me tell you why I've had a good week, Savage. Well, first of all, did you know I did not get blood on my white shirt one time?
That's always good.
That's a day breaker.
Up around the collar.
Yeah.
I don't think Wisp could have got that out.
Clorox pin.
The Clorox only protein pin. Gets protein out.
That's right.
Cold water and peroxide.
Oh, man. Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
Ancient.
Yeah. You know, I didn't have to hide my dog in a trunk.
Oh, that's good.
Not one time.
You don't even have a dog.
I put my cat in there.
Okay, there you go.
You know, I didn't have to go temporarily insane and murder thousands of television sets.
No, that's good.
I didn't go ballistic.
You know what, though? They had to come in the whole movie.
I almost did.
Yeah. I was glad to see him die.
Took him out with style, too, did you know?
Oh, the whole movie was style.
Yeah, nothing but style.
Stupid Samsung.
Style.
A little nod to the film there, if we have not teased your appetite just a bit.
Yeah.
But let's get into a little bit of how you can keep up with this before we talk about Equilibrium 2002. Man, this seems like an old film now.
It's 13 years
That's old. Weird you think of 2002
I know.
Being old. It's just, I can't settle into that.
Yeah, no, it's strange.
We're all getting old. Pretty soon I'm going to have gray hair.
What?
Here's how you keep up with us. Any way you want, you know that.
Sure.
Yeah, what else do you want me to say? We have Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, YouTube, all that stuff. But you
all
just go to theqfilmcast.net. Yeah, that's right. You go there because it's a catch-all. You can do all of that from there. You can follow us on Twitter, Facebook, whatever. You can leave your own review of this film or any film that we review.
Yeah.
We love that. So, yeah, there you go. QFilmcast.net, as always. Pay us a visit. Let's get into this, guys. Once again, Equilibrium. Let's talk a bit about who directed and wrote this thing. Same guy. Kurt Wimmer.
Wimmer or Wimmer?
Wimmer?
Maybe it's Weimer-Reiner. Weimer-Reiner. Weimer?
Weimer-Reiner.
It's W-I-M-M-E-R. How would you say that, Hoodie?
I don't know.
Probably Vimmer.
Okay, we're going to go with Vimmer.
Vimmer?
I would just mumble and put my hand over my mouth.
Yeah. So that's who wrote and directed this one. Looking into his past work, I can kind of see how this is in line with this. Yeah, Law-Abiding Citizen.
Wrote it.
Yeah.
He wrote it? Okay. Salt?
Wrote it.
Yeah, that's right. This is all like writing. I think it's the only thing he's directed.
And that and
Ultraviolet.
One thing called Tough Bastard. Tough Bastard.
Okay.
Ultraviolet, which was...
Not good.
It had Mila in it, though.
Oh, that was. That was awful.
I'll watch it if she's in it, though.
I haven't seen that.
I can't watch it.
Apparently, he's writing the Point Break remake.
Why?
He wrote it because it's in post-production.
Okay. Why? Well, anyways, I wrote down here they wrote and directed these things, but actually he just wrote them.
Okay.
Okay, so that's his big thing. He writes these sorts of films. Stars Christian Bale, Sean Bean, Emily Watson, and Taye Diggs.
And William Fichtner.
And William Fichtner. No need to get into their work. But actually, you can touch a bit on William Fichtner, Max. You're a big fan of this guy.
Love that guy.
Why?
Because he's awesome. He makes everything better.
He kind of does.
He's like cool. He's like the Cool Whip of actors. The everything's cool better with the Cool Whip. Whip. Every movie's actor. Better with William Fichtner.
So you just need like a little dollop. Like a little dollop of Fichtner.
The more Fichtner, the better.
When you think of a Fichtner movie, though, like Savage, what do you think of when you think of this guy? Because Max likes him so much. He's in all these movies. Which one comes to the surface?
Well, just because he brought it up, but Drive Angry. He was perfectly cast for Drive Angry.
Love that guy. I've not seen it.
He was the best part of
it. It's a fun little flick.
Yeah.
Nicolas Cage being crazy.
Okay. What about you, Hoodie? What's your Fichtner?
Max and I were talking. The one where he's the gay cop. I can't remember. That was great. I can't remember what it was, but.
The gay cop.
I really didn't like the character at the beginning, and towards the end, I was like, yeah, that guy's awesome.
Is the movie just called Gay Cop?
Yeah, probably. I think he just nailed it.
Nice.
Was that part of the movie?
You know what I think of? I think of Heat, and I, for some reason, think of an awful film, The Perfect Storm. I think of him in that for some reason.
I bet he was the best part of that
He
movie.
Was actually the best part of that
There
film,
you go. So,
there.
Told you.
Yeah, see, I made a full circle there. We proved his point. All right, so let's get into this, guys. Those are the players there, and obviously Christian Bale is the... I would say this is his second kind of starring role. This came off of American Psycho.
He did Empire of the Sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's weird, though. He was in Empire of the Sun when he was like 6 months old. And then there was this big break.
And he was still ripped in Empire
of the
Sun.
And by the end of the movie, he was 12.
Yeah. So it's like, what were you doing? I guess he just took his childhood off. That's a good way to do it.
Maybe went to college, studied abroad.
But this was part of his reconstruction, this film here, you know, coming and getting back into the limelight to a certain extent. But let's talk a bit about what the critics thought of this film. Producer's cheating, so I'm not going to ask him. He's looking at IMDb.
I always look it up.
I know. But
I always cheat.
But that means
he forgets that we can see what he's looking at, and it gets awkward sometimes.
God, he was so emotional about that, too. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm calling the sense police on you, sense offender. See, whimpering like a sad puppy. Let's go to you, Savage. What do you think IMDb something point something?
Oh, okay. IMDb, that's all users, 7.1.
Ooh, 7.6, Savage.
A little bit.
Oh, my God. Not bad. Close. Actually, we know our feelings on IMDb and Rotten Tomatoes. It's like, who are these people?
Right.
Yeah, everybody dragging their relatives in. Hurry up, vote. Who knows? I don't know. But IMDb says 7.6. Rotten Tomatoes, you have critics and users. Hoodie, what do you think critics gave? Equilibrium.
67.
38.
Yowza.
Yowza.
Let's see if we got a Coriolanus swing.
Oh, you're about to have a Coriolanus blow the lid off it. Because what do you think users gave Equilibrium on Rotten Tomatoes? What you got?
62%.
No.
No?
We can rub some heat on this one. 82.
Ooh. 82.
That's a fresh mater.
I did not see that coming.
No, no, that's big. That's big. So anyways, there you go.
Big. That is a big swing.
There you go. That's Rotten Tomatoes, Equilibrium, 2002. So a big swing on that. We go one direction and we go the other, right?
Right.
So enough of that. Let's talk about what this movie is. And here's what you have. Brief synopsis on the film. Equilibrium. It's the future. 2072.
It's the future.
2072 to be more specific. And the place is Libria, where a strict regime has eliminated war by suppressing emotions. Books, art, and music are strictly forbidden, and feeling is a crime punishable by death. Yikes. Cleric John Preston, played by Bale, is a top-ranking government agent responsible for destroying those who resist the rules. But when he misses a dose of prosium, a mind-altering drug that hinders emotion, Preston, who has been trained to enforce strict laws of the new regime, suddenly becomes the only person capable of overthrowing it.
Ooh, that's a twist.
That's right. We have somewhere to go with this. Upon his 2002 release, Equilibrium received generally poor reviews and at times scathing, but it did manage to gain an audience of headstrong fans and a smattering of praise, including some from the late Roger Ebert, who stated Equilibrium would be a mindless action picture, except that it kind of has a mind. It doesn't do a lot of deep thinking, but unlike many futuristic combos of special effects and futuristic tales, it does make a statement. Ooh, yeah. Let's make a statement of our own right now by playing a trailer. And we'll come back. We're going to get all emotional. We're going to break some laws, tell you how we feel. And here it is, Equilibrium 2002.
The cleric is the final line of defense. If the resistance compromises it, we are doomed. You're a family man.
Yes, sir, a boy and a girl.
Elliot, Preston, don't move! Don't move!
This is a lawful entry. We have a warrant for your wife's arrest.
Remember me.
Welcome to the underground. Do you know why you came?
Yes. They trained you your whole life to fight these kind of odds.
What can I do? I've heard the most disturbing rumor.
Rumor, sir?
A rumor maintaining that one of the cleric is actually attempting to contact the resistance.
Then you know what I'm gonna do now.
Yeah. Preston, give yourself entirely without incident.
No. Without incident.
All right, so there you go. There's Equilibrium 2002, the film we're going to talk about tonight. And we'll get into that in just a second. Hey, I want to do something here. You know, previously on some previous episodes,
Previously on the Q Film Cast.
Right, previously on the on the Q Film Cast, we've mentioned Max's address, and we've dared some listeners to send in some snail mail.
Right.
If you send it, we tell you, we're going to read it verbatim.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened?
We got one, Max.
We got one. We go Annie Potts over here.
Annie Potts. Yeah.
Max goes to the mailbox and look what we find here. We find a mysterious postcard, and I don't know what this is. You want to explain what this is?
That's the origami unicorn from Blade Runner, dude.
Yeah, man.
Come on, man.
Well,
apparently he listens to the show.
Apparently he does
more than you.
Right. Yeah, what's wrong with me? This is fantastic.
I don't think you've ever seen Blade Runner.
I've seen Blade Runner, but that's not something that's going to pop into my head immediately. Really? Apparently it should.
Apparently you haven't seen Blade Runner.
Here's what this postcard says. It says, oh, hi, Max.
No, it does not say, oh, hi, Max.
Oh, it just says, hi, Max. Should I be saying this with a certain kind of accent?
You should.
It's from somewhere else, you know. It's from, I think, Ireland.
Yeah.
Across
the land of Ires. I love
man
Ireland.
Lands.
Yeah. Hi, Max. I know it's not exactly a letter, as promised, but I thought you'd appreciate this more, and I think he did. Mm-hmm. Thanks to you and Mike, James, Matt, and Adam for the hours of entertainment, and here's hoping for many more. Best wishes. I'm going to say it. Kevin Dillon. Not the Kevin Dillon, sorry. And we're talking about at Kev Dillon, KEVDILLON 316.
All right.
This guy's fantastic, man. Yeah. He's a player. He feels like the silent partner. Yeah. He feels like an underappreciated member of the queue. And I want to appreciate the hell out of him right here.
Now, if we could get all the other listeners to get on his Twitter account and thank him for it.
Everybody, you go to at Kev Dillon 316 and you just say thank you.
That's right.
On do behalf it, of the listeners.
Just pause the show right now and go do it.
No, we love Kevin Dillon. He's fantastic.
If you, too, would like to be part of the show, you can write me a letter at 120 Peachtree Street, Nashville, Tennessee, 37210.
See how it goes?
That's
see how
it.
You play? See how it's played?
I see.
Actually, no one else. We'll do marriage proposals. If you want to propose marriage to somebody in any fashion, we're not here to judge. We will actually propose, we'll read your marriage proposal letter on the Q Film Cast.
And Max does impressions, too, so if you want to hear a certain impression,
right.
Just write the name of the actor or whoever, and Max will do it on the air for you.
I love it.
I'll give it a shot.
Running out of time. Let's go. Equilibrium 2002. Let's get into this one here, guys. You know, we do a little bit of trivia, a little bit of facts and figures on the film.
Yeah.
That's no different. Let's go. Writer-director Kurt Vimmer invented the martial arts style of gunfighting for his movie in his backyard.
Gunkata.
He invented Gunkata in his backyard. Did you know that most of the filming took place in Berlin due to its unique mixture of fascist and modern architecture?
Yeah.
He wanted the person to feel small and insignificant. which is the purpose of that architecture.
Exactly.
That's why it was there.
Right.
Did you know that although he actually drives a car in several scenes, Taye Diggs didn't know how to drive?
What? I read that. I was like, what? Who doesn't know how to drive
the hell?
By the time you get that
he
age?
He must be a city boy.
He must be a supermodel.
Well, then he would have a Jeep.
Yeah, and he would, like, drink right. Orange Julius's in it and stuff.
Right.
I thought that was strange. Who doesn't know how to drive?
Right. Taye Diggs, man.
God bless. Did you know that Vimer intentionally avoided using futuristic technology that could become obsolete? He wanted it to look, I guess, timeless is
That's
the word.
That's a good idea.
He should have used a different car.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Yeah, nothing says future like a Sebring.
I think it was a Celica.
I think it was a Lincoln Continental.
Yeah, nothing says welcome to the future like a Ford Probe.
It was a Cadillac.
I love when they do that with cars, just use the old cars in the future. Wow. I think it's fantastic.
It gives you something to chew on, Adam, no doubt
I
about
love
it.
It.
They were classics.
Hey, producer, did you know that the puppy used in this movie was a Bernese Mountain Dog?
Yes, I did.
Did you know that the noises it makes, barks, whelps, yelps, weren't exactly made by the dog at all, but an actor was brought in who specializes in dog impersonations?
Was it the guy from Police Academy?
That's awesome.
Yeah, Michael Winslow.
That's awesome.
Did you know that despite popular belief, absolutely no wires were used in the film at all? All the gravity-defying stunts were done through conventional means. Oh, come on. Backflips off of trampolines is what they're saying. No.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of that. There wasn't wire foo in
this. So you're saying they're lying?
I don't like it. I don't like that. I don't want to.
You're saying they're lying.
I don't like that.
I don't like it. I wanted some wires in this movie.
I like
they
wires,
had a
man.
Budget, Michael.
Did you know that Daniel Radcliffe, we're talking about Harry Potter, almost landed the part of his son?
They couldn't have done any better with the son that they got, because that kid creeped me out.
He did. He's creepy.
Creeped me out.
Did you know that the drug Prozium in the film was named Librium, hence the people of Librium, whatever. However, Librium turns out to be a registered trade name, so quickly they had to change it to something else. They changed it to Prozium.
Prozac and Librium?
How many people do you think John Preston kills in this movie?
2,086.
I'll go low ball 32.
How about
100 and something?
118.
Jeez.
Guy was a killing machine.
He's responsible for exactly half of the 236 deaths shown.
Does that constitute a rampage?
Mm-hmm. So there's 236 people killed, and he killed 118 of them. Okay.
So let's get into it. It's not roughly a half. It's exactly a half.
there's your breakdown of that film, guys. And let's talk...
maths.
Let's talk about how we landed on it. And the first thing we're going to do is talk about how we're going to rate it. We don't use thumbs up or thumbs down here.
No, that's stupid. That's pretentious.
Yeah. We're going to use...
we wouldn't dare to do that.
We're anything but pretentious.
I think we're evolving into something quite like that.
No.
Max, what are we going to use? You came up with something. I loved it.
Movies made better by the presence of William Fichtner.
That's long. Movies made better by the presence of William Fichtner.
Right.
That's right.
I like it. And by the way, this does inspire our top three. Let's just reveal that right now. Before we get into all these action scenes that we're going to talk about.
Action.
We're talking about outrageous action scenes in film. Is that the way we said it?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Over the top action scenes in film. Top three. That's coming at the end of the show.
Cool.
But the show begins right here, and we're going to tell you what we thought of Equilibrium.
Right here, right now.
Queued up by the producer. Obviously, this is your selection.
Yeah.
So produce me your rating. 1 to 10, movies made better by William Fichtner. How many are you going?
I'm going 7.
He's going 7 on this. Mm-hmm. And you'll tell us why here in a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you, Hoodie? Let's go right to the table. Let's go right to you. What you got?
I think 7's a good. That hits it. But I'm going to go an 8.
You're going to go an 8.
He's going to go an 8.
I just really like this movie. What do you do?
I don't know what you do.
I understand. I understand why nobody likes this. I get it. But I like this movie a lot.
I can't wait. This is going to be a better episode than I thought. Max Gumbo Johnson to his left. And I want to know. I want to know right now what you give this film.
I give this 7 movies made better by William Fichtner.
Boy, there's some heat on this.
I could give it more movies.
Savage, go ahead.
That sounds about right. I'm floating between a 6 and a 7. I'll get a 7, but I may go down.
Okay. Well, you know what? I like to get my stuff out of the way. I just want to hammer this out, and then I'm going to direct traffic, and we're going to talk about why you guys like this film.
All right.
I did a little writing here. Just real quick. It's going to be real quick. I'm just going to read this. It's easier for me to do it this way.
I'm going to time what real quick is.
Yeah, right.
Go.
Here we go. My relationship with this film is special. I have no apologies whatsoever in telling anyone that I've watched it 3 times. One time wasn't enough. Second time made me love it. By the third time, I had something very special in my hands, and I knew it. Yes, I love this movie.
Uh-oh.
It's a film you gotta see, and let me tell you why. When you start watching this thing and the obvious shots of Stalin and cheap white liquor Buicks pull into focus, you know your potential for a truly awful movie is high. Not a guarantee, just potential.
Here we go.
But what this film manages to do is so special I almost can't describe it. It somehow baits you in with just enough initial intellect and silly gravitas that you find yourself pulling for it. I swear to God, you start to think that through all this utterly craptacular filmmaking, and believe me, it's beyond awful, there's actually a scene where two characters begin a conversation as one is driving up in a spray-painted Sebring and hasn't gotten out of the car yet. But that's okay. It's an obvious slut of a movie and a total ripoff of everything that it could get its hands on, but still acted like it wanted to go somewhere. So I found myself saying, go, Equilibrium, go. I said that many times. What happens at the 45-minute mark and continues for the rest of this movie is simply spectacular. There are only two things that could have made it so, and both are jaw-dropping. One, this is all a joke. This is exactly what they intended. Or two, even better, and I hope this is it, this was done with a straight face, taking itself as seriously as it wants you to believe it is, and they had no idea. If that's the case, this is one of the most astounding displays of movie-making hilarity of all time. I would put this up there with The Room in Miami Connection.
Oh,
it is downright hysterical, and the fact that we may be on the verge of having a serious discussion about this whore of a movie makes me absolutely giddy. This is simply one of the worst films ever slapped together, and I say that in a good way. It's a convoy of a movie dump truck that just pulls up one after the other, scene after scene, and delivers its payload of plot holes and stupidity right on top of your brain. This should be at the Belcourt, Max, tonight, with a line snaked around the door with people with plastic spoons in hand. Watching Bale prance around this unrelenting pile of cinematic excrement is simply glorious. And when you can actually put Gun Kata 12th on the list of stupid things in a movie, you know you have a treat. I actually say that when they utter the lines with all conviction, welcome to the secret hidden underground, and then pan up to see it's only 5 feet underground. Or when you get the long shot of Bale and Watson giving each other finger kisses, I almost peed myself while sliding off the sofa. This is one hell of a movie. Completely entertained by this one. I'm between a 7 and a 2. I think I'm going to go 2, though.
7
I'm
two.
Like either 7 or 2, but it has to be 2.
Okay.
I can't put it up there as a serious movie. There's no way that they meant to make this movie.
Okay.
It's 31 right. Movies made better by William Fichtner.
Still
by the
not
way,
bad.
That was 2.5 minutes.
That might actually be the real number.
Yeah, probably.
I'm done. That's it. I threw it out there. There's my breakdown. That's how I felt about this film. Did you see it coming?
Wow. Yeah.
I loved it. No, you didn't.
You gave it a 2.
Even Lisa came down. I said, Lisa, watch this. Watch it. She goes, are they serious? I said, I think so. That's what makes it great. I think they don't know.
He might go up to a 7.
I'm either going to go from 2 to 7. I don't know. I'm starting out at 2, but I'm also going to the producer. You tell me why you gave this an 8.
I gave it a 7.
Oh.
Well, it's fun. That's,
Equilibrium 2002. We're going to come back
reality.
And do a few more scenes. So here
There's
you go.
There's nothing you have to really think about. You just enjoy it. That's it. And I love the action scenes.
Wow. Okay.
That's it. Plain and simple.
That's it.
I had fun with it.
No, I get it. That's why I'm saying I'm either a 2 or a 7, because it is fun. It's awful fun, but it can be fun, kind of like a, you know, just like a toy or a play thing, but I don't know how much of a real movie it is. They had to have not known that this is what they were making, right, Max?
I don't know what you mean.
All right. Well, you tell me. You gave this a 7. Why?
I thought it was somewhat stylish. I thought it was filmed well. You know, my big knock on is it's really pretty unoriginal. I mean, there's not a whole lot of ingenuity here except the Gun Kata, and even that's like, it's just some guy acting real fancy with a gun.
It would never work in practice.
No. No, it wouldn't really work. But the theory behind it makes solid sense.
I love it.
I was like, wow, that's awesome. I would have never thought of that. But it's still, I mean, there's really not a whole lot of original in here. And my big, another big problem with it, the mere premise of the film is flawed from the get-go.
Why?
You're arrested for having feelings? Well, you have to have feelings in order to judge someone that they're having feelings. So in other words, you're having feelings about
right.
their feelings. You cannot not have feelings.
Right. Or if you tell everybody that you're going to be arrested if you have feelings, makes everybody scared.
Yeah.
Right.
So now I'm scared. Well,
they have a pill for that, though.
I don't know. Well, how am I supposed to feel about this? So yeah, it's flawed. I mean,
take your pill. Just take your pill.
Yeah, just do it. And don't feel anything. So that is, I mean, it's flawed from the very, I mean, from the first scene. It's like,
okay, so
okay,
why
well,
are you giving this a
7?
You just say it's fun. This is nothing that we haven't seen before. Why is this fun?
You haven't seen Gun Kata.
Oh, my God.
You had your say. Shut up, host man.
Take your pill, Mike.
I might go down. I'll tell you right now because I really liked this the first time I saw it several years ago. Revisiting it, there was something a little amiss.
Yeah.
But I'll be quiet on that and let somebody else go.
Wow. I'll say that I'm proud to champion Equilibrium.
All right. You may have to, sir. Well,
I'm still proud to know you, Hoodie, but go ahead. Try it. Try to champion Equilibrium for me.
No, whatever. I'm not by much, but yeah, I do really like this movie. I don't know. 1984 is one of my favorite books ever. Gung Fu, Gung Kata, Christian Bale, some black coats, some white coats, mm-hmm. and a whole lot of scared people hiding,
Mona Lisa's.
And Mona Lisa's next to, like, little plastic 80s toys. I'm in. I am in, sir.
Okay, Savage, jump in there. Apparently, I thought someone would go down there and waller in the low end of the pool with me on this one.
Not everything has to be a head exercise.
It does. I know it doesn't have to be a head exercise, but it can't just be 2 hours of just stupidity.
That was an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh. Yeah.
No, I'm with Max. When I watched this several years ago, fresh off The Matrix, which it's like the deep impact to The Matrix of what that other one was.
I'd watch this over The Matrix any day of the week.
Well, it's kind of a ripoff. I mean, I liked it much better revisiting. It is preposterously silly. I mean, it's kind of got that neo-noir style that it's like surrounded in glossiness, but it rips off. I got 1984, The Matrix, Blade Runner, Minority Report, even a bit of Dunes in there, so it's lifting.
Fahrenheit 451.
Yeah. What's the Bruce Lee movie where he climbs the tower and fights every boss on the floor? It kind of had that feel at the end too.
Yeah.
On the island?
He's in the yellow suit. I can't think of it.
Game of Death.
I don't know.
I've never heard of it.
But it's silly, but it, again, it's not really original. It's the whole dystopic utopia. And like Roger Ebert said, I read that review. It's like there are kernels of deep themes in this.
Oh, I didn't see a single thing.
Oh, yeah.
They try real hard.
No, there really is. But it's mantled and glossed in this just silly, preposterous.
There's no gloss.
He's getting emotional.
Yeah. I mean, it's preposterous in the coats and the gun kata. And it's silly fun. I'll give it that, but there are themes of what you sacrifice for security and what is the cost of your passions. I mean, there are themes that it tries to tickle, but it's lost in its own slickness.
Many times, way better. Mm-hmm. The guy just wanted to add, gun kata. He's like, hey, look at this thing I made up in my yard. Let's make a movie.
Yeah.
But don't you think that it also has to hold, with all this silliness, you still want it to hold together as a purpose and there's a thread there that makes everything make sense. For example, here's the guy pounding on the table saying, get all these non-emotional people. He's saying it in a very emotional fashion.
Oh, absolutely. I counted
that happened,
the emotions.
At least, yeah. I'm sitting there going, look at all this emotion from these non-emotional people.
Yeah.
And it just never ended. And then, for example, they have to have a scene where they're fighting. So they're sword fighting with just like they're not out of breath, just having a conversation.
Well, they're in really good shape.
Just
that's their job.
And the writing, they say, I see that you're a master at this because you practice. Because you practice? That's how you tell me he's a master at this?
Well,
it's like, come on.
Well, that's how you get to become a master.
I don't know. I found it just completely absurd. But anyways.
Oh, it's you had your 2.5 minutes.
I know I had my 2.5 minutes. That's what she said too, Adam.
Adam, you had your 20 seconds.
Right. But it simply wouldn't work. Like Max said, you can't not feel, period. And so it's flawed from the jump.
Yeah, but that was kind of the point when Michael was saying that the guys at the tippy top of the tower are emotional.
Yeah.
That harks back to 1984 with just controlling the population. They, get all the good stuff. They can have all the emotion they want. But as long as they keep the population in check, then they're all good. They're doing their job.
Yeah. And that's one of the important themes that I think that it tried to touch on.
Yeah.
But, you throw in Gun Kata and those themes kind of get thrown out the window.
I really thought Gun Kata
I really love 1984.
Let's talk about that one. I really thought Gun Kata would be the thing that we would talk about being dumb. But, I'm looking at my notes here. Max, just back me up on a couple of things. Tell me if I'm seeing this wrong. Society of non-feeling masses stand up and applaud passionately at the big screen when Father ever gives a speech. These are non-emotional people.
Non-emotional people.
That happened all over the place.
The blind loyalty to a faceless.
And look at this. It's like the Underground said they had bombs planted all over the drug facilities in Libya. And they would go off once the father was killed. Why can't they just blow up the freaking things now? What is that all about?
I
mean, what is the difference?
Well, they would ruin the aesthetic of the city.
It just goes on and on like that. I literally have 30 things, but I'm going to shut up now. So
then they wouldn't have a mission.
I said that Bale pranced through this thing very pretentiously, like he didn't know. It just seemed funny to me to see him taking it seriously. Did you like the performance?
Well, what did you want him to do? Durka durka, I don't have feelings. Bang bang bang. I mean, is that what you wanted?
No, he just mugged for the entire movie.
He's an actor.
Would that be a Judge Dredd movie? I think
Judge Dredd. Yeah, not Dredd. Judge Dredd. Yeah.
What did I say?
You said Judge Dredd.
My
There's
bad.
A difference. There's a difference. What's Judge Dredd is the Stallone one. Dredd is the good one.
But he's still, the character is Judge Dredd.
Yes.
Right, correct.
Bitch.
You know, I thought the performances were okay. I mean, come on, you know, Bale doing his Bale thing.
Yeah, Sean Bean.
Yeah, Sean Bean, all this, but...
And?
William Fichtner.
Which, by the way...
These are little names that signed on for this story, too, by the way.
Yeah, right.
I'm going to shut up with one last stupid scene. When Fichtner comes on the screen,
It's the best.
Well, it is. It's interesting because here comes Bale. He's going to walk into this library, and he's going to... I don't know what he's going to do, but he picks up a guy, throws him through a wall.
Yeah.
And on the other side of the wall, standing there, is Fichtner. Then the guy he threw through the wall is just gone from the shot. It's like, what is this? And then they reveal the secret underground. They literally panned up. It's a city grate. They're 5 feet underground. I almost died in laughter.
Still underground.
This is a funny, funny movie. Right.
Underground's underground, buddy.
Yeah.
You know what we should do? Listen, we're going to come back and talk about a few scenes. I'm going to kind of shut up here. I'm going to hog
no, you're not.
I'm going to try to.
You won't.
Let's listen to a piece of Equilibrium 2002. We're going to come back and get into a few more scenes. So here you go.
I assume you dream, Preston. I'll do what I can to see they go easy on you. We both know. They never go easy.
Then I'm sorry.
No, you're not. You don't even know the meaning. It's just a vestigial word for a feeling you've never felt. Don't you see, Preston? It's gone. Everything that makes us what we are, traded away.
There's no war. No murder.
What is it you think we do?
No. You've been with me. You've seen how it can be. The jealousy. Rage.
A heavy cost. I pay it gladly.
I think fun and clever should go hand in hand.
That's how we come back, by the way.
And I don't think it's fun because he's flipping and jumping and exploding and blasting. That's nuts. You got to at least give me some heat in the script.
Yeah. You just described Super Mario.
Let's do this. Come back.
I mean, for example, let's say, what's a movie I thought was fun recently? Let's talk about Pain and Gain. That's a stupid, fun movie.
A lot of people love Transformers.
A lot of people hate that.
You have the poster on your wall, all three of them. Oh, don't lie about it. It's okay, Michael. It's okay.
You have to have a foundation.
No, this is your coming out.
You're not going to record this, are you?
It's recording now. We need to...
We're already back.
We're just come in with that. We don't have to...
Okay, all right. So I guess we're back. Anyways, that was there. That was a piece of Equilibrium 2002, and Max is trying to rib me saying, you don't like fun movies. Well, I'd like fun. I don't like stupid.
I like stupid.
You like stupid. Some stupid.
Sometimes stupid is good.
Do you like
sometimes
the jerk?
Stupid is good. Yeah, but that
Uh-oh.
Was still... But listen,
Uh-oh.
Stop.
Oh,
that had a story. That had writing.
You know
that
what?
Had... Let's get to work, guys, and use our brains here to create something, not just laziness.
You know what, though? Watch it again, because it's really choppy. It just jumps from, like, funny scene to funny scene, and there's kind of a story. Yeah. I mean, there is an umbrella story. But
you know what? Let me tell you something, how lazy this film is here.
Okay.
When it comes to the emotional impact, you know what we get? A puppy. Are we really that stupid?
Well,
why didn't they just cut that out and put in an ASPCA commercial right there?
Puppies work. Well, puppies get the job done.
I mean, are we really that stupid? Yeah, it's like
it was for the ladies.
Hey, yeah. There was some Beethoven that he heard for the first time.
Yeah, and he found that book by Yeats.
Yep.
Which kept changing tread on this shape. Movie lightly, Michael, for you tread on my dreams.
I stepped on something. Well, you know, Hoodie, I explained
you see
this.
What he did there?
All right. I explained this as the best two I've ever seen. So when you think of the scenes in this movie, Adam, pull out one that you want to talk about specifically.
It's not actually a scene. It's one little thing that I really liked. The big Atlas globe. Did you notice that all the whole entire continents have moved?
No, man. Yeah. Nice detail.
Yeah. Well, I don't
and
know
that's
that
one
it was
thing
supposed
I enjoyed.
Earth.
Like, it's not?
I don't know. Is it?
Well, it is in Liberia or whatever. Okay. I love the fighting scenes. Hands down. The first one where he comes in, sliding on the door, pitch black, and then all of a sudden you just see him moving with the lights flashing everywhere. Brilliant.
And then the glowing barrels
afterward. Yes, that just was icing on the cake.
Okay.
No, I mean, not to mention the fact that he probably couldn't hear a thing after that.
Right. You know what else bothered me, too? All the killing that's going on. Why is it that when you crack someone's helmet, they just die?
Because you hit them hard enough to crack their helmet.
I mean, here it is, 2072.
He's practiced and trained. He knows where to hit them.
Adam, it's 2014, 2015. We have Gorilla Glass on our phones. It's 2072, and there's plexiglass on their helmets. And whenever he would just crack someone in the head, they just die.
He was a badass.
He was a Grammaton cleric.
Sir. By practice, I'm thinking, okay, maybe he's a mystic. Maybe he has a superpower.
He's a cleric.
You're the best because you've practiced. Yes, I practice a lot. That's the writing we get.
Yeah, you've said that already. Move on.
I like that when he was fighting, he had the clips like in his forehead.
Oh, in his sleeves?
And he just like moved his gun. Yeah, he pointed his guns down. The clips, you know, reloaded the guns. I was like, why don't we have that in practice now?
I like the fact that he actually stopped to reload.
Thank you.
Like you don't
there
see
you
that
go.
In every movie.
Okay. You know, I like the fact
I go to some of these outrageous scenes. Like the guy had a six shooter here, and he shot 35 people.
Yeah, I like the fact too. They frisked him at the end when he went to meet the father. Yeah. But apparently, he has guns up his sleeves.
Yeah,
I like that. That just magically appeared nowhere. I mean,
it didn't magically appear. He put him there. He knew what he was doing.
He
was going to kill them. The master, the father.
They frisked him, and he has guns in his sleeves.
Well,
Max.
Maybe they're not used to frisking clerics. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing.
You never frisk the sleeve. It goes from ribcage to butt, and then you're done, right? Up and down the leg, maybe
they
in the
took
crotch.
The sword.
They didn't practice, apparently.
Yeah, if you practice, right.
Let's talk about that creepy kid of his.
Yeah,
that
did
was
you
a nice
like
little
the
twist, huh?
The
huh?
twist. Did you see that twist coming at the end?
I didn't.
I didn't.
Caught me off guard.
Did you?
I just didn't care at that point.
No. I was just counting
the stupidity of this film.
So you could watch it two more times.
Right.
Well, that does say a lot about you.
Yeah.
You hated a movie, so you watch it two more times.
Well, like I say in my rendition, I put this up there with Miami Connection. I had fun. I'm not saying I didn't have fun with it. Right. I just laughed hysterically at it because it is so dumb. It is so dumb. Like the kid, for example. Okay, you're going to tell me that this kid and the daughter, all of a sudden, they're not taking their pills. And by the way, they're taking lie detector tests to see if they're lying, whether or not they took the pills. In 2072, couldn't you just take a blood test or pee in a cup?
It was a dystopia, so technology, just like Star Wars, may have devolved a little bit.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Except
all right.
Somebody's cranking out that product. There had to be a Librium factory, or a Prozium factory. They're just cranking that stuff out. If
probably
every single person is taking it.
Probably the people in Metropolis.
Three, four times a day.
That underground factory.
They're making some money.
Yeah. I don't
somebody
think they have
is.
Money.
No. Yeah. There's no money in a dystopian fascist future.
Yeah, they always have credits.
Right? Yeah, they have credits.
Credits.
Protein bars.
There it is.
That sort of thing. Soylent Green.
Soylent Green.
What about the Joan of Arc scene, as I call it? You know what I'm talking about? They burn her. They toast her. They take her for
it's
being
martyr.
Too emotional.
They throw her in the oven.
Yeah, what did you think of that? What did you think of that relationship between them?
I thought it was a little forced.
You remember the finger lovemaking scene when they were just kind of playing fingers with each other?
Hey, it's a family show.
The red ribbon.
I thought that was dumb.
You think everything's dumb.
You know what else I thought was dumb?
I think you're emotionalist. Emotionalist. I just coined that.
Emotionalist.
Oh, you know one scene, when you talk about scenes that I remember? That shot of him running through the corridor to save Emily Watson. Because all of a sudden he finds out she's about to be toasted.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden he's back in the complex. He has just escaped from. Knows exactly where to run. Running through all of these underground
practice.
Yeah. I know he's practiced. And he's crying and screaming in a place where emotions are banned. And they're just standing there like, huh.
Who's going to stand up to the cleric?
He's a cleric.
I'm just saying.
What Joe Jack is going to be like, hey, that cleric, you're showing emotion.
Buddy. We just went
citizens
through...
arrest cleric.
we just constructed a scene where he escapes from this place, and then he's back in it, running around.
Yeah,
yeah. That's he turned dumb. Around and went right back in.
Yeah,
he had to do it.
Remember that scene where he walked
it's
out
growth
and
of
then
the
he,
character.
Then he walked back in. You remember that part?
I'll tell you what else I remember is that stupid gun switch scene.
The gun. That was
on,
a bit
Max.
Confusing.
I mean, come on. You're going to frame Ty Diggs by, oh, here, I think you should do it. And you switch the old switcher
with
a gun.
Yeah.
And that's going to work in 2072.
But then they did a double on that
did.
One and switched it back. So.
And they said, oh, look, let's see who was firing the gun. There's your technology, buddy.
I will say this, though. I did think that the dog scene was kind of an emotional moment. I mean, that was pretty...
You just referenced the dog scene as like...
Yeah, cheap shot.
It was cheap, but it was kind of effective.
Well, that's what I
then
said. The dogs always were... A puppy
but
always
only,
you're all over the place.
But only if you're stupid enough to buy it.
So well, you just called yourself stupid.
In a way. In a way, I did. Because I was thinking to myself when I'm watching it going, I am kind of teary-eyed, but man, is this stupid. I didn't know how to feel about it.
Why is it stupid?
Because I'll tell you why. It's so lazy. It's like
It is lazy.
How are we? There's nothing sadder than a puppy. Let's put a puppy in here right now. See if they bite on this.
And you bit,
right?
I did. He didn't just bite. He went back three times.
Hey, let's murder a puppy.
Let's put him in the trunk, Savage.
Yeah. Because what happens when you murder a puppy in a better film? John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I haven't seen that yet. Don't tell me.
Oh, come on. Everybody knows that dog gets killed in John Wick.
I didn't know that.
Well, then spoiler you don't alert. Know anything about John Wick.
The stupidity is so overwhelming, but I think you're right. There is something there that makes you still stare at the screen.
Yeah.
Three times.
Yeah.
And couple that with Sean Bean had a really, I thought he did a really nice job at the beginning.
Yeah.
What was that book, too? I can't remember. I wrote it down, but I lost it. Yates. Yeah.
But it kept changing sizes and shapes.
Yeah, first he could stick it in his pocket, then it was like the size of an Oxford dictionary.
Kind of like the Mona Lisa.
Right. Awful. Just
the Mona Lisa. What do you mean the Mona Lisa?
It was huge. The Mona Lisa
wasn't that big.
Yeah, it is small.
I know it's small, but it wasn't like a giant poster.
It could have been a poster.
I think it was a
medium-sized poster.
No, it was original. They did the test.
Did you notice how many?
It's real.
How many segments of bad editing there were in this film? Did you catch any of that?
No.
Go back and watch it just for the editing. There's a conversation.
No, I'm not doing that.
Two times there's conversations in this film where it starts before the guy gets out of the car. Go back and watch it. I'm like, he's pulling into my driveway. Oh, hey, Bob, how are you? Oh, and then he gets out of the car. It's like, what?
Well.
Huh?
Just trying to figure out how to break
just
the
cutting
ice.
The fat. That was the only conversation.
You know what else disappointed me? There's no key fobs in 2072.
How do you know?
Because he's looking for his keys to open up the trunk to get the dog out of the trunk. Get the key fob.
Well, they've outlawed key fobs.
It's a classic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what? I got to go back down to two. I just realized.
Can't keep doing this.
I have to. I'm emotional. My emotions are all over the place.
You're a wreck.
Yeah, well, my scorecard's all over the place. I'm going crazy over here.
I'm going to go back down to two because of no key fobs.
All right.
Can you do that? I thought you can only make one move per show.
That's it. That's all the moves you get, buddy.
Yeah. Well, you know, we didn't talk much about these kids, though. That really was a creepy-ass kid.
But you just kept bringing up bad editing.
Yeah. Okay.
That was a creepy kid, his son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was up with that dude?
Right.
And how do you know he stopped taking his medicine until the end? Because he was pretty blank. He was pretty emotionless himself. But I like that part where he dropped his medicine, and the kid says, you should really report that and get a replacement. Yeah, of course I will.
Oh, yeah, and the kid contacts his partner to make sure it happens.
What a little sellout.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, well, he is a sellout, isn't he?
But in 1984, they had the kids with the sashes. What were they called? Anybody?
Oh, gosh.
Hitler Youth.
Hall monitors?
Basically Hitler Youth. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's what it was parallel to.
Same difference. Yeah.
Well, it was Berlin.
So what did you think of the ending, Savage?
It's stylish and fun and, silly and... the dystopic utopia. I mean,
why'd they have to wait till the guy died to blow up the factory?
Well, he didn't die because he was never alive. He was an illusion. Father was an illusion.
Whatever.
He was the Wizard of Oz.
William Fitchner was waiting.
There's
on
another
the
movie
signal.
That references Wizard of Oz.
It's a good point.
Right.
William Fitchner was just waiting on the signal.
There was only
all hinged on William Fitchner.
There was only like five people in the underground too. It's like five dudes, and
that's
a couple
they took forward, man.
No, man, because they killed 100 and some odd. I mean, most of them were out of town. It's like, why do you care what's going on out there?
You know what else I hate too, and I hate this in all kinds of movies.
Did you like that final scene where he killed like 50 guys? Did you like that?
No, I didn't like that.
Why was the TV killing?
First of all,
because he wanted to bust through and get to and see the daylight. Remember when he peeled that paper off his windows?
But why? Is that
that
scene.
Was awesome.
It was beautiful.
I love that scene.
That was
touching. You're being.
Why have windows?
Shout it down, Michael. I love that part where
you
he started
practice
peeling
your
the paper off his window. Mm-hmm. That was great.
And he a tear rolled down.
Yeah.
Sunset.
Yeah.
That would happen to you too.
I didn't cry as much during that as I did the puppy scene. Okay. But let me ask you this question: why is that TV killing scene in this movie? He's walking through the hallway. There's a row of TVs for God knows what, shooting him back and forth, doing all these little flippy little things with his guns and shooting him. What is that all about, Max? Come on.
It's action. It's action.
Style.
Those monitors were also devices for watching people.
Big Brother.
And there were people behind them. He was killing all those people.
That's absurd.
It's not absurd.
I think it was a metaphor.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm not going to explain the metaphor.
You shouldn't have to.
Are you sure it's not a simile?
All right, listen, we're going to end this conversation on Gunkata. We have not talked about, like I thought we would, Gunkata. Hoodie, does Gunkata work for you?
It works for my inner child.
So you really tapped into like an inner child.
Oh, come on. It's cool. And shut up if you say it's not. Because it's the very idea is just awesome. In practice, it kind of looks a little stupid. But the idea is awesome.
Right.
And Gunkata, if I followed this right, is watching hours and hours of practicing, watching hours and hours of film, people getting shot at. Therefore, you know exactly which way the bullet's going to go, and you can bend and twist.
And it's also about trajectory.
Right. It's all math. I think they explained it pretty well.
Right.
Yeah, it's mathematically based. I think it's real.
It's geometrical. The better chance is the guy's going to shoot you from here, so you know which way to avoid it, and vice versa. You know which way to shoot,
I mean, did you see the diagrams in the movie? They pointed out the vectors and trajectories. All of it was
Wait a second. And you guys call me the A-brain nerd? What are you talking about?
Hey, it was explained in the movie.
It was explained in the movie.
So you didn't like Gunkata?
I mean, I don't know how to take it. It's
did
so
you like
stupid.
It or not?
Listen,
black and white, buddy.
I understand what you're saying. Did I like looking at it? No, not particularly. It's eye rolling. I mean, it's just eye rolling. There's nothing there to grab onto intellectually.
You don't
like he's trying to.
You don't like anything with kata or karate or anything. You don't like kung fu.
You probably
movies.
Don't even like panna kata.
Yeah.
Is that where you fight throwing pandas at each other?
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Listen, you're trying to tell me what I said is absurd. What I'm telling you is that if you look deep, it's not any is more absurd than Gunkata. That is absurdity on display.
It's not absurdity. It's made up futuristic stuff. It's fun. Golly, loosen up a bit, man. Yeah.
Loosen up? Okay. All right, I'll loosen up for you, Max. I'll loosen it right up. I don't mean to do. Why don't we all loosen up together and listen to a clip of Equilibrium?
Why are you alive?
I live to safeguard the continuity of this great society. To serve Libria.
It's circular. You exist to continue your existence. What's the point?
What's the point of your existence?
To feel. Because you've never done it, you can never know it. But it's as vital as breath. And without it, without love, without anger, without sorrow, breath is just the clock ticking.
I have no choice but to remand you to the Palace of Justice for processing.
Processing? You mean execution, don't you?
Processing.
So there it is, Equilibrium 2002, the film we talked about, tried to talk about. I think we just kind of ramble a lot.
Yeah.
But so did the movie.
Well, you kept saying how bad it was, so we just had to defend it.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I got to say, you guys, you really kind of upped your game on that review. You got me thinking maybe I was dumb. Yeah. Maybe I was the dumb one.
Maybe I'll go to a three.
Maybe I'll go to a three.
Too late.
Yeah. Oh, my God. But we get into our top three here, inspired by the film, and that is top three outrageous over-the-top action sequences. I had a tough time with this.
Me too.
I did not.
No, I'm sure you did
I'm
not.
I'm sure you didn't.
You could just go over
Gremlins
and want...
3.
Yeah, Gremlins 3.
It's not out yet.
Not coming out either.
Producer, why don't you kick this one off? Top three outrageous action sequences inspired by Equilibrium.
Final fight scene from Cripple Masters.
Yeah, just that whole movie was weird.
Yeah.
Cripple Masters.
Wait a second. Is that the one you made me watch in your backyard?
No.
No.
This one.
Nobody made you watch anything.
I watched it here in your backyard.
Yeah, we watched it in your backyard.
Did we?
We did.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I just don't remember.
I kept thinking Cripple Masters, too. Don't feel too bad, buddy.
That is pretty outrageous.
Yeah.
Wait, that is pretty outrageous. One guy can't use his legs. One guy can't use his arms. And they just kind of tape each other together and fight.
Yeah. And not only that, the guy with no arms is great with the bow staff.
Yeah. Okay.
He's better than Daffy Duck.
What about you, Gumbo? Number three for you, what's it going to be?
I kind of had a theme here. So number three is the warehouse shootout in Hard Boiled. John Woo film.
You can't not bring up John Woo in this conversation.
I'm not. I can't not bring him up. John Woo, Hard Boiled, Chow Yun Fat. That warehouse shootout was just insane.
I've never seen it.
The guy comes jumping through the warehouse in a motorcycle, and Chow Yun Fat shoots the motorcycle, and it blows up in midair and lands right next to him, and there's bullets flying everywhere, and he never gets hit.
That sounds awesome.
And then he comes right up to the guy, and they go to shoot each other, and he looks at his gun, and they don't shoot each other, and he looks at his bullets, and he used them all. Oh, man, it's awesome.
What did he do? What did he do?
It was a drawdown.
What did he do?
That's where the scene ended.
Oh.
You'll just have to watch.
Number three for you, Hoodie. What is it?
I think I did this wrong yet again. I just put down my favorite actions.
That's cool.
No, it's like legitimately my favorite scene.
Okay, you can go that route. You can do this.
Okay.
What is it?
Okay. Kill Bill. When they're doing
House
the
Blue Leaves?
When they're doing the Crazy 80.
Crazy 88s. Yeah.
That's a good one. That was on my radar.
That was good.
Well, that certainly is over the top.
It's very, but it is. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Undeniably.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
You like that, Michael?
I'm going to approve this. James Hartsub Savage, number three for you.
Yeah, another iconic one. Desperado, the bar scene.
Yeah.
Where the guitar case opens.
It's absurd and over the top.
And it's like ballet. It's like dance. It's like Dance of Death.
See, now that's a fun movie I like, Max, because it's not dumb.
Desperado's not dumb?
No.
Yeah, it's kind of dumb.
Come on. There's a fine line between too dumb and dumb. I'm feeling kind of dumb right now. You know what my number three is? I just didn't like this movie, and I just want to tell you I didn't like this movie, and I'm going to mention this movie.
But it had a great action scene.
Man of Steel. I thought that ending was so dumb, the fight scene.
Yeah.
Because it's like, here these guys, he's here to protect the city that he's destroying.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought when I left the film, I thought, okay, am I the only one that felt this way? And then the other reviews came out and was spot on with me. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was just too stupid. It was too over the top.
Too much fighting.
Too much fighting. You know what I'm talking about, though? It goes
on. Oh, yeah. No, I know. It destroyed the whole city. Yeah.
It goes on forever. Okay.
Yeah, that was a big criticism of that.
Didn't like it. Producer, number two for you. What's it going to be?
Robo Geisha. The butt swords and the acidic breast milk scene.
I love it. He makes me want to put it in right now.
What?
We're going to watch this butt sex movie immediately.
But butt sex?
What did you say?
Butt
swords. Butt swords is what I meant to say.
It's a little different.
Robo Geisha.
I don't know. I heard robots, geisha, butts, and swords from you. That's what I just heard from
you. Oh, it's great. It's fun.
I'm sure it is. Can't wait. I'm going home and jump on Amazon the second I get that.
Geisha butt swords?
Robo geisha and butt sword fights.
But I heard butt sore.
Don't feel bad. I just blurted out butt sex.
If you had a sword, if you had a sword in there, it would be sore.
I'm sure.
Right. Oh, my God. Can you imagine?
Max Gumbo Johnson, obviously it's your turn now. Number two, over-the-top action sequences inspired by Equilibrium.
Number two, the hospital shootout. And Hard-Boiled.
He's got a theme. I'm picking it up.
It's fantastic. It's a long tracking shot. It's awesome, especially when they go through this corridor and they kill all these dudes. And, bah, 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 pew, pew, pew. And then they get in the elevator. And the elevator, if you notice, the elevator doesn't go up or down. And they stand in the elevator and talk for like 45 seconds. While they were doing that, the guys hurried up behind the scenes, changed the whole set. And then the elevator doors open and they were like on a different floor. It's awesome.
I've heard this movie brought up many times. Hard-Boiled. Always the same. Yeah. With always the same flair. Oh, it's a stupid movie.
Never saw it.
It's not a stupid movie. It's just pretty over the top.
Over the top fun. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Hoodie, what's your number two over the top, or whatever you want to call it, action sequence?
I really don't want to follow either of these guys. Children of Men, that one tracking shot where he's going through.
Oh, yeah.
The, like 10-minute
Children
shot.
Of Men.
Which one? That's what I said.
Okay. I thought you said Killer Men.
The one in the car or the one at the end?
Oh, yeah. The one at the end.
Okay.
The one, yeah,
that is a hell of a shot.
It's amazing.
I mean, that is hot film craft.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Mm-hmm.
The one in the car is pretty incredible as well.
It's no Hard-Boiled, but it's on its way.
Yeah. That's not dumb. That's a clever, clever sequence of filmmaking right there. Savage, number two, what's yours?
That's simple, but it's outrageous. It's the hand cannon scene from Pulp Fiction. Dude just comes out and unloads and misses everybody. Miraculous.
That was an act of God.
It was an act of God. It was a miracle. It changed his life.
If you notice, the holes were already in the wall before you started shooting.
And that wasn't really like a fight scene.
No, it was just a shooting scene.
Okay.
My number two, I have a bunch. God, I'm just going with things I thought were just stupid. And I'm going to go with Air Force One. The fighting scene in the airplane. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Gary Oldman and his stupid little band of whatever running around shooting up the airplane. Harrison Ford's taking him on. He's the president. Ducking behind seats. And yeah, like the seats are going to stop
a bullet.
Bullets. Yeah.
It's Air Force One. I'm sure they do stop bullets.
If you go back and watch it, and it's funny because I was flipping through the TV not too long ago while I'm thinking of stupid scenes, and there it is, reconfirmed like an act of God itself. Air Force One's full of so many stupid, stupid scenes. There's my number two.
It's just an action.
Producer, we're over to number ones now, aren't we? Wrapping it up.
I can't wait to hear this.
Number one for you, what is it?
The sex scene from Shoot 'Em Up.
I've not seen this.
He's having sex with a girl, and he's killing a bunch of people with guns while she's on him.
Ooh.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Drive Angry?
No, Shoot 'Em Up.
Shoot 'Em Up.
Okay, so wait. He's having sex and fighting
Children of Men.
How is that better than Butt Sword Robo?
I don't know.
Robo Geisha.
Because it's Monica Bellucci.
There you go.
Bellucci?
Wait, is she the one from The American?
No, she's not The American. She was in Irreversible in the third Matrix movie.
And you got Clive Owen.
Yeah. And she's going to be in the next Bond movie. She's so hot.
Making love while he's killing a bunch of people running into the room. It's great.
Making love.
That's committed. I don't think I could do it.
Not a chance.
I could do it.
Nick Cage did it. While drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Hoodie, back to you right now for your number one. Let's just go ahead and wrap it up with you here on yours. What is it?
Saving Private Ryan.
Pretty awesome.
Oh, that's a good
so,
one.
Which
scene?
Think of that.
Which scene?
Take a guess.
I don't know, Adam.
Opening scene?
Which
scene? I'll tell you what, those first 10, 15 minutes of any film, you put that up against any film as far as a kick the door open, here we are.
10, 15? I mean, try 30.
Yeah, 30 minutes, whatever, man.
It was long. It was forever.
It grabbed you by the throat early, didn't it?
Still does. I don't know if you watched it recently, but jeez.
Yeah.
Still brutal.
No doubt about it. Its impact.
Neither do you, Max. So why don't you go ahead and impact me with your number one? We're talking about crazy, outrageous, over-the-top action scenes inspired by Equilibrium. What is it?
The tea house shootout. And Hard Boiled.
I have to see Hard Boiled.
Right.
It's insane. It's just, how did this guy not get hit? It's crazy.
He knew Gun Kata.
No, he's here's how he did it. He's Chow Yun Fat.
Here's how he did it.
He practiced.
Yep.
I see. You've practiced. You practice
those aren't,
a lot.
I'm going to just qualify this here. These aren't really my top three outrageous scenes, but I was going through stuff I thought, and I was like, what about that scene? Like, holy crap, there are three scenes in Hard Boiled. They're just crazy. So I just said, I'm just picking all three of those. All
right. I like it. I like it. Savage, what's yours?
Outrageous because it was kind of true, the street shootout from Heat.
Oh, yeah.
That was awesome.
Oh, that was good, though. But, man, it was...
And it was kind of real. That kind of really happened.
Man, you know what, though? The last scene with the airport is one of the most intense fights I've ever seen. With the shadows off the planes and how they played that, I was on the edge of my seat with that.
Recently, I watched it. It holds up.
It really does.
Well, and, you know,
Michael Mann's made a good film or two.
Well, the last one, apparently he didn't. That's getting ripped to shreds. Hard Hat, whatever you call it.
Black Hat. Maybe you should have made Hard Hat.
Yeah. But, you know, Max, that makes me consider something you brought up not too long ago. You said the problem nowadays is they just don't film action. They jerk the camera around. They try to create action that's not there. Heat doesn't do that. You're actually just sitting there still framed. Watching it, and that's what I like.
That's because Michael Mann knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, he did. Apparently,
I don't know. We hadn't seen a paper hat yet. We don't know what the that's someone else's opinion. I got a
birthday hat, paper hat,
birthday
Jimmy hat.
Let me tell you what happened to me. I had my number one set. I have to give a shout out to one of our listeners. Okay, I put this out on Twitter. Hey, Twitter fans, what do you think of crazy, outrageous scenes? I don't like to steal someone else's answer, but after he said, please watch this and tell me what you think, I have to change my number one to his. I've never seen this movie. I've only seen the clip. And it is Belly of the Beast from Steven Seagal.
Uh-oh. Never seen it.
Did you say Steven Seagal?
It's a Steven Seagal movie
DMX?
Called Belly of the Beast. And without the A at without the A on Twitter,
right.
Said, watch this. This will be your number one. I said, okay, bring it. It's my number one. You have Steven Seagal shooting arrows coming at him head on, shooting them in half.
This is Steven Seagal.
With a bullet. Yeah.
Akidu. Is that right?
Something like that.
This is how stupid it is. They're shooting arrows at him, and he's putting the scope on the tip of the arrow and shooting the arrows as they're coming at him.
He's awesome.
That's insane. Yeah. Well, you'd have to have a scope, obviously.
Yeah.
Clearly.
It's just so stupid if you watch it. It's literally the dumbest action scene I've ever seen in my life.
But he's a New Orleans sheriff, right?
Oh, he's a jerk.
Steven Seagal.
Yeah. That gives me great confidence in the Jefferson Parish Police Department. We've hired Steven Seagal. Like they weren't corrupt and dumb enough already.
I put this out on Twitter. Actually, I just told you about without the A. I want to steal his answer for number one because, damn, is that stupid. Honestly, we're going to watch this after the recording. I want you to see how stupid this scene is.
It's outrageous.
Wait a second. WFOD at WFO Dix says, ever seen Christian Bale in Equilibrium? Pretty much that whole thing is stupid. Yep. Without the A also says Commando, the entire movie.
Yeah.
Our boy Resender at Resender says the garage fight in Transporter 3.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where he's in oil and stuff.
Maddie Mayhem at the Film Bambina says anything by John Woo.
Hard Boiled, The Killer.
Scott Stamper at Durf Macklin says the whole act of Hard Boiled, gloriously so.
Yes. Confirmed.
There you go. So there's your Twitter shout out. I think we're done. We talked about Equilibrium from 2002. We talked about our top three.
Yep.
Outrageous, Savage.
Outrageous.
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 Truly outrageous.
And I think Hard Boiled, this is a Hard Boiled appreciation episode, isn't it?
It is, yes.
Right.
Everyone go watch that movie now.
Yeah, so there you go. And that's where this one ends. We're going to get into our reveal for next week.
Right.
I think you're going to lay down the gauntlet of some hard, hard, sub-savage type material here, aren't you?
I think so. We're going to go with James Franco's directorial debut, Child of God.
Ooh. I like James Franco.
I like God.
Do you?
I don't know.
I'm not sold on Franco. So
as long as you didn't say children.
It's we'll see.
Yeah, I know this in passing. Yeah, it's his first big kind of delve into some serious material. Yeah, okay. All right, there you go. I think I know the premise, so yeah, we should have fun with this one.
Cormac McCarthy. It's going to be heavy.
Yeah, Cormac McCarthy. Yeah. Interesting. Good selection, Savage.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Right. We'll see. All right, so that's next week. Child of God.
Child of God.
Outstanding.
It's Gad.
That's right. We brought this up earlier.
Well, I can't believe I have to keep correcting you. Dumbass.
So, that's where this one ends. If you want to leave us your review of this film, tell me if I'm stupid or if the movie's stupid. It's going to be one of either. I'll go with either answer. Go to theqfilmcast.net. Leave us anything you want. We'd love to hear from you. So, until next week when we talk about Child of God, you guys take care of yourself, and however it is you say, good night.
too many puppies. A big shot in the